Jude is writing to the saints, and he's saying, "Dearly beloved, I wanted to talk to you about this common salvation." Jude said that this salvation is a salvation that includes justification. That means to be declared right with God. Jude is saying that I wanted to talk to you this morning about regeneration, and that means a new nature from God. Jude said that I wanted to talk to you this morning about reconciliation, and that means to be changed from enemies to friends with God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of Introduction to the Book of Jude. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Introduction to the Book of Jude.
I'd like for you to open your Bibles this morning to Jude, the one chapter book right before the book of the unveiling, the uncovering, the book of Revelation. And we're going to start a series this morning from the book of Jude. And you have your notes in the bulletin. And our key verse for this series will be Jude verse 3. Jude verse 3. And Jude says here, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And at the bottom of your notes, you will see that the series for this particular sermon is, "I'd rather fight than switch." And as we consider this great Christian faith, Jude told them, he said that I wanted to write to you about salvation and the good news of salvation. He said, but as I examined what was going on there and seeing what was happening all around, he said it was needful for me to write to you about something else. He said, I wanted to talk about this great salvation. He said, I wanted to talk about all that we have in Christ. And then I saw something going on. He says in the next verse, verse 4, he says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." So there had been some false doctrine that had begun to infiltrate the body of Christ. And Jude said, as much as I wanted to talk about this great salvation, I had to change my direction. As much as I wanted to write to you a letter about the salvation that we have in Christ, I had to go in another way. And so that's why we've entitled this series, "I'd Rather Fight Than Switch." Jude is writing to the saints, and he's saying, "Dearly beloved, I wanted to talk to you about this common salvation." Jude said that this salvation is a salvation that includes justification. That means to be declared right with God. Jude is saying that I wanted to talk to you this morning about regeneration, and that means a new nature from God. Jude said that I wanted to talk to you this morning about reconciliation, and that means to be changed from enemies to friends with God. Jude said that I wanted to talk to you about sanctification this morning. And that means to be cleansed from evil and to be separated from God. Jude said that I wanted to talk to you about the salvation this morning. That talked about glorification, which means the perfection of the saints. If Jude had been living today, Jude would have said, we don't need it. Revolution. We got to have a constitution. constitution. Yeah. We have to change sorry pools. We got to have better schools. We don't need it. Bad employment. We got to have more enjoyment. We got to find a better place. Yeah. We got to meet it face to face. But Jews said, I can't talk about that. He said, I can't talk about that. He said, I wanted to talk to you about that. Jews said, I wanted to get a little hoop on. He said, but I can't do that. He said, because we're dealing with some serious issues. He said, folk want to come and they want to hear a good time. And we want to shout. We want to laugh. We want to praise God. And Jews said that I wanted to write to you about that common salvation. This good news that we all share together. He said, but there were some problems. And he said, I had to change the direction of my message. He said, I had to go into another direction because I found out that we need to contend for the faith. That we need to be rooted and grounded in the word of God so that we are not blown about by every wind of doctrine. And Jude encourages us to study so that we can contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. You know, as I think about things that happen in the church, and somebody said that there are several reasons why church split. There are several reasons why people get upset with the church and they leave the church. The number one reason that people leave the church is because of pastoral authority. That they think that the pastor is dominating, and they think that he wants to run everything and he wants to be in control of everything. And that's the number one reason that people leave the church. The number two reason that many people leave the church is because they don't necessarily agree with the way that the worship is going, the music, and some people want a quiet worship, and some people want a more expressive worship. And you know, believe it or not, up there in the top five is that some people will leave church because of the way of folks dress. Well, I don't think that women should wear pants to church. And I don't think that people should come to church dressed such and such a way. And then we could even go and look and begin to see that some people will leave because the carpet is not the color that they wanted it, or they didn't get their name on a window. And so people get upset and they leave the church. And what Jude is letting us know that we don't need to fight about these little insignificant things, that we don't need to get upset about whether we say amen or amen. We don't need to be concerned about the little things. Jude said that there are some things in the church worth fighting for. And he's going to elaborate those things to us as we go through this study in the book of Jude. If you look at your notes today, we'll do a little teaching this morning. We already preached. We already got the preaching. So we'll do a little teaching this morning. The author of this book. Now, there is some confusion among some folk who actually wrote the book of Jude. Some say that it was Jude the apostle who was the son of James, and that Jude is talked about in the Gospels and also mentioned again in the book of Acts. Some say that Jude was a leader in the early church according to Acts 15:22. But I believe that the Jude who wrote this book clearly identifies who he is, because look at Jude verse 1. And here Jude says this: Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. And as you look at the book of James, we see that James introduces himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so James, we know for a fact, is the brother of Jesus. And so as you look at that, Jude makes a reference to the fact that James, everybody knew who James was. He didn't have to identify James. He just took it for granted that everybody knew who James was, that James was the half-brother of Jesus. And so that he said that I'm James's half-brother. And maybe Jude didn't feel that he had the authority to or the prestige to be able to lift himself up. Maybe he was being humble when he said that I'm just the brother of James. But Jude had bragging rights. Jude could have bragged because truly he was the half-brother of Christ. But Jude didn't always believe. If we look back in the Gospels, we see that there was a time when Jude did not believe who Jesus was. Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 5. And it talks about Christ when he was having his ministry and he was traveling and spreading the gospel of the good news. And it says in John chapter 7 and verse 5, it says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." Neither did his brethren believe in him. And so we see that Jesus had several brothers, James, Jude, and he had another brother. And on one occasion, we read that Jesus also had sisters. So you know, that kind of knocks out the whole idea of Mary only bearing one child. You know, as many would have you believe that Jesus was the only child that Mary had. But Mary actually had about five or six children. All right. And James was one of them. And James didn't believe. Well, what made James believe? What turned Jude's life around? Well, if you look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, we see that something happened. And James no longer was of that persuasion who didn't believe. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. And we see that Jude is with those who are waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it says here in verse 14, "These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." And so now we see Jude has gone from an unbeliever to a believer in Christ. Well, I can't say this for a fact, but I believe what made the difference in Jude's life was a resurrection. We've been studying Peter for the last couple of weeks, and we saw how that Peter backslid, and that when Christ came and restored him, he got on fire for God. And now we see here Jude, who was an unbeliever, that I believe that after the resurrection, and many commentators agree with this, that after the resurrection, Jude turned his life around and became an apostle for Christ, or a disciple of Christ. So that's a little bit about Jude's background. As we continue to go through the outline that's before you, we see the key verse in the book of Jude is verse 3, where Jude says to earnestly contend for the faith. He wants you to fight for the faith. This word to contend actually comes from a Greek word. The Greek word is agonizomai, and it means to agonize. It means to struggle. It means to labor for the faith. And what he's saying is, man, that you need to do everything to fight for the faith. You need to do everything to learn about the faith, to grow in the faith, to believe the faith, and promote the faith. You know why a lot of young people are shaken today when they go to college? Because they've never been grounded in the faith. And they get into I was on the college campus. And when I became a Christian, you know what? I became one of the worst enemies of the professors on the campus. And the reason being is because, you know, I had a different perspective on things. And I remember in one class that we were talking about, I forget the subject that we were talking about, but I remember I was the only one in the room that was taking this stand on God and what was right. And nobody else in the class supported me. And the professor was against me. And I said, you know what? This will destroy a young person. This will absolutely knock a young person off their foundations if they haven't been rooted and grounded. That's why I thank the Lord for Bethany Baptist Church. And hopefully we are doing a good job at rooting and grounding the young people. Maybe they don't all go out of here loving Christ with their whole heart and avoiding sin. But hopefully one thing that they're getting as they go through the system here at Bethany Baptist Church is that they're getting that rooting and grounding in the Word. One guy said, you know what, preacher? He said, I've been coming to church for 30 years. He said, and I can't remember one sermon that you preached. He said, I'm going to stop coming to church. I'm not coming to church anymore because I'm just not getting fed. I'm not getting anything when I come out of your sermons. And the preacher stopped and said, Brother so-and-so, do you eat every day? And he said, yeah, I do. He said, well, do you remember the whole time that your wife has been cooking your every meal that she has cooked for you? And he scratched his head and he thought for a second. And he said, no, I don't. He said, but you still eat. You still get nourished and you're still alive. And it's the same way when you come to the house of God. You might not remember every sermon that was preached, but hopefully somewhere you're drawing some nutrition from somewhere. Hopefully somewhere you're hearing about a God who sits high and who ministers low. Hopefully you're hearing about a God of creation and the God of new birth. Hopefully you're hearing about a Christ that died and was buried and that rose again. Hopefully you hear about a Bible that is the inspired, infallible word of God. Covered, as one young man said, from geniuses to revolutions, that this Bible is inspired of God. Hopefully you're learning about a Christ who is not only the Son of God, who is God, a very God. He is not the God, the teacher, but he is the teacher God. And so we need to realize that, man, somewhere we got to get this rooting and we got to get this grounding down inside of us. So we can do like Jude says, fight for the faith. And that we won't go out here and just lose everything that we got and just throw it all out the window. But somewhere there's something in our spirit that when one of our young people is on that college campus and somebody says something about evolution, that somebody ought to stand up and say, well, look, I don't know about all that stuff, but I know one thing. In the beginning, God, I know that much. You know, as a matter of fact, in our apologetics class on Thursday night, one of the conclusions that we are rapidly coming to that everybody's already seen is that, you know what? Evolution is actually dying. It's on the ground, it's rolling around, moaning and groaning, and all somebody need to do is just go take a gun and shoot evolution right in the head. Evolution doesn't have a leg to stand on. It's absolutely, and yet and still, that's what's been taught as the gospel over the years, and it's knocked young people off of their foundation. Man, I would to God that, once again, I know that, you know, there's a lot of temptation sexually and morally that's going to come against the young folk. I understand that. And would to God that you don't fall. Would to God that you don't give in to the immorality and the lifestyle of the wicked. Would to God that you keep your testimony pure and clean. But my brothers and sisters, my young brothers and sisters, if you don't do anything else, stand strong in the belief of who God is. Stand strong in the belief of who Christ is. You know, some folks say, well, I don't understand all this stuff. Well, you don't understand electricity, but you turn your lights on every day. I heard somebody say, I don't understand how a brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk, but I still drink it. So there's a lot of stuff that we don't understand. But thank God, one of the things that we're finding out in our apologetics class is that you don't have to stand on nothing. But we've got a lot of support to stand on as we stand for Christ. And so what Jude is saying, contend for the faith. And he goes through this whole book of Jude dealing with the fact that believers need to contend for the faith. Well, what is the purpose for him writing? The purpose for Jude writing is to challenge all believers to be on guard against heretical doctrine and false teaching. That's Jude's. See, once again, look with me at verse 3. Jude said in verse 3, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of this common salvation. He said, I wanted to write about this great salvation. I wanted to tell you about all these things that we talked about earlier. He said, but I couldn't do it. He said, I had to go in another direction. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. And Jude is here to challenge all believers to be on guard against heretical doctrine and false teaching. The place of the writing, well, there's a lot of debate as to where Jude was when he wrote it. And we really don't know where Jude wrote the book from. Some people say he wrote it from Jerusalem. Some say he wrote it from Rome. There are others that said he even wrote it from Africa. So we're not sure where he wrote the book from. The date, when did he write it? Most commentators assigned the book of Jude between A.D. 67 and A.D. 80. Somewhere in that time period he wrote it. And some scholars have even narrowed it down to say that Jude wrote about A.D. 66 or 67. So there is a little 15 or 13 year gap there as to when he could have wrote it. Now, the background, this is where we want to park at for a minute this morning, is on this background. Why did Jude write this book? Well, we're going to tell you why. Jude ministered in a day when Christianity was under harsh persecution. First of all, there was the attack from the outside by the Romans. You had some knucklehead in Rome by the name of Nero who took Christians and dipped them in pitch and set them on fire so that they could light up his walkway at night. You had other Roman authorities that were throwing Christians into the Colosseum to be eaten alive by lions and wild animals just for the sport of the people around them. You had people from the Roman authorities that were taking people from Jerusalem, shipping them off to Rome to get them to denounce Christ, to get them to deny Christ. And they would have whole families on the boat, and they would have tell the father, "You denounce Christ." And when he wouldn't denounce Christ, he would throw one of his children off into the ocean. And then he would tell them to denounce Christ. And he said, "I cannot denounce Christ." And they would throw another one of his children off into the ocean. They would say that Caesar is Lord. Say that Caesar is Lord. And he would not commit to that. He said that Jesus is Lord. And they would take his wife and they would throw her off the boat. And then they would say that Caesar is Lord. And he said, "There's only one Lord, and that's Jesus." And they would take him finally and throw him off the boat. Man, there was a lot of persecution that was going on against the church that day. So the church is dealing with all this persecution from without. They were dealing with people who were angry, such as the Apostle Paul, who was coming into the church, snatching Christians out and putting them on trial and convicting them and sentencing them to time in jail, to torture, and to even death. And so there was the persecution from without. But the sad thing about the church at that time is that there was a lot of people who were infiltrating the church and promoting false doctrine. And these individuals were known as Gnostics. And this doctrine that they were promoting was known as the doctrine as Gnosticism. And I'm going to tell you what, by the time we get finished with this series, you're going to know what Gnosticism is. You know why? Because many of the false teachings that we see in the church today are a direct result of Gnosticism. And so we need to understand what these guys were dealing with back in this day. You know, they just didn't have this opportunity to be able to set up these churches and just go preach the gospel. But, you know, there were people, look what he says in verse 4. Jude says in verse 4, he said, "For there are certain men that are crept in unaware." Man. They just came in slick, smooth. You know what it was like? If you can put you in a Chuck Swindoll gave this illustration. If you can picture being outside on the day, oh man, somebody told me when I came across the street, thank the man upstairs for the weather. But I'm not going to thank the man upstairs. I'm gonna thank the man who's in my heart. I'm going to thank the man who moves among us. I'm going to thank the man who is my Lord and Savior just for the good weather. So I just want to put that in this morning. But you know, on a day like this, being out in the swimming pool, and here are people sitting around the pool, drinking lemonade, sitting on their lawn chairs, listening to their box, just having a good time, jamming and just enjoying themselves. The little kiddies are in the kiddie pool on the short end, and you got the macho guys diving off the diving board up the deep end, and you got other guys just sitting around doing what people do, just chilling and grilling. And then all of a sudden, with all this activity going on, unaware to everybody else, this crocodile climbs into the pool and begins to devour those who are in the pool. He crept in unaware. All that was in there, nobody saw him coming in. He blended in among the crowd. He was received in because nobody identified him. Nobody realized that he was coming in. And he slipped in the pool unaware and began to wreak havoc. And Jude is saying,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Introduction to the Book of Jude. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Introduction to the Book of Jude, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to the Book of Jude. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to the Book of Jude, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.